All right then. All right. Anybody have anything you got a question on or something you want to give away out of our reading in Luke? We're up to chapter number 18 today. I believe it is. Or am I behind or am I advanced or behind or what? 18. We're up to chapter number 18. Go look in chapter number 1. Look in chapter number 1. When I read this, this really was an encouragement to me. I've thought about it on numerous occasions since then. And it just speaks of the desire of the witness of Jesus. Just the desire of the witness of Jesus. Remember, as a witness of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus, God's made us all storytellers. We have a story to tell. And nobody can tell our story like we can of what God's done for us. Some people may be able to articulate their story more eloquently than you, but they can't really do any better of a job telling your story of what happened to you in your life. This doesn't happen all the time. Matter of fact, it's extremely rare. I could probably count on one hand the times this question has been asked to me in 20 years of ministry. I had a young lady ask me the other day, said, "Brother Nick, how do I become a better soul winner for Jesus?" Boy, that was a good question. How do I become a better soul winner for Jesus? Telling you, in 20 years of active ministry, of traveling all over, being around countless thousands of people, less than five people have asked me that question in that many years. Less than five people. And I imagine I'm not the only one that would be able to testify. So that stands out to me that she would have this desire that she wanted to be a more effective soul winner for Jesus. Somebody who is spending their time, spending their money. What it is, this girl ordered some tools that she could use to pass on the message of Jesus. That God had given her a vision, she said, that she was going to win 30 people over the next year for Jesus. And she knew if she was going to do that, that she would need the Word of God hidden away in her heart, and that she would need to know how to tell her own story, but that she had some tools that she wanted in her hand that she could leave with people so that God would be able to do a work in them after she left. And boy, man, what a blessing. That just blessed me to hear this young girl's heart in desiring to really long to be a more effective witness. And that's really the heart of what Luke started out with in chapter number 1. He says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand," one, that would be a responsibility, but two, that would be in pen. Taken in hand the responsibility and a pen in hand to set in order a narrative. Because that's what we're telling. We're telling a narrative. We're telling the story of our life and a narrative of the life of Jesus, what He did when He lived, and Luke wasn't an eyewitness to these things. Luke didn't join the group. He didn't join the disciples until Acts chapter number 16. Matter of fact, hold your spot there in Luke. Go to Acts 16, and you'll see where Luke joined the disciples on the journey in chapter number 16. So everything Luke has, you got to remember, Luke is a Gentile. He's like you and me. He wasn't a Jew, wasn't brought up in Jewish traditions. He was a Gentile. And Luke was also a historian and a physician. He was a doctor. So Luke had some intellect, a capacity to learn and to recall and to remember, and some disciplines to help nurture that in his own life. But we find the author of Acts is also Luke, and he writes this, I think it is, and this is in chapter number 16. I'll start in verse number 1 of 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Now, who is this Timothy here? This is the Timothy that followed Paul and became the pastor of Ephesus, and Paul would send him to Philippi. He sent him all over and was a great, great disciple and disciple maker that learned all he learned through the Apostle Paul. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So Timothy was what we would call a half-breed. He was a half-Gentile, half-Jew. Verse 3, Paul wanted to have him go on with them. He circumcised in verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. That would be in chapter 15. So the churches that they went to were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So we take on a collective group of people in churches in various places, and these churches were growing, and they were growing both spiritually and numerically as they were making disciples. Verse 6 says, Now when they had gone from Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. It wasn't time yet. That was Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit forbid them. He shut them down, stopped them. And after they gone to Mysia, they returned and went to Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. They came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night of a man of Macedonia descent, stood and pleaded with him and said, Come over. Verse 10 says, Now after he had seen the vision, immediately, notice the next phrase. We. That is an indication to us that it was in Troas that Luke joined the disciples. It was in Troas. Now from here on out, we're going to start seeing Luke, instead of saying they went here and they went there and they done this and they done that, as he's given a recall of the narrative of the mission trips of these disciples, he goes on to say, We sought, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Verse 11, Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course. So that's when Luke joined in on the missionary journeys and began to glean and learn about what had taken place before. And what Luke's doing in Acts is telling about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the work of the apostles that were glorifying Jesus. And then he comes back to Luke. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, this same guy, this same historian, this same physician says that he took personal responsibility and took in hand to pen those things which had already been fulfilled among them. He says in verse number 2, just as those, this is Luke 1:2, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Everybody that was an eyewitness, he says, like so many before him that were eyewitnesses, not only were they eyewitnesses, but they became ministers of the word, delivered them, that would be the words, the narrative of what they seen, they delivered them to us. And then Luke said, It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know for certain of the things which you were instructed. So in this, the heart of this guy, which we know is led by the Spirit, for the Bible is breathed by God, so God is leading him. But notice those three things. He uses the phrase eyewitnesses. Just take the word witnesses in there. We're not eyewitnesses of Jesus. We were not eyewitnesses to Him. We didn't see Him. We didn't see what He did while He was on the earth. But though I'm not an eyewitness, I am a witness. I'm a witness by faith. He's done something in me and He has made me His witnesses. Not only has He made me His witness, but He has empowered me to be His witness. And this is something that the witnesses of God do, just like how Luke wanted to do, just like how the eyewitnesses saw the account. Witnesses of the Word become ministers of the Word. Yeah. Ministers of the Word is simply saying they serve the Word of God. They serve not only the Word, the oracles of God, but because they serve the living Word of God. They serve Jesus. And Jesus being the Word of God, and His words are what we trust, then that's the words we want to serve the people. So when we are witness of the Word, we become ministers of the Word. And then we see that next phrase, this just simple outline in verse number 2. Witnesses, ministers, and deliverers. You see, when you're a witness to it, and you become a minister of it, then you deliver what you have heard and seen. And that's really the call of the witness upon our life. To be a witness of the Word, a minister of the Word, and a deliverer of the Word. We bring it. We deliver. How many of you ever had ordered a pizza from Domino's? We can't get Domino's to come out here, can we? They just won't come. Have y'all tried to get them to bring a pizza out here before? Have y'all tried to get Pizza Hut to deliver? Or Papa John's? Janet has? They just won't do it. Have y'all ever had to go meet them somewhere to get a pizza delivered? They just won't do it. Well, how about Brandon? You ever had UPS drop something off for you? How about FedEx? What is UPS, FedEx, Postal Service, or Domino's, or whatever it is? When you order something or you buy something, they personally deliver it to you. They bring it to you. And that's what we as witnesses of the Word and ministers of the Word that encourage and feed the brethren then deliver that living Word to those that God gives us to go bring it to. We're personal deliverers of the Word of God. Amen? God speaks to us. Gives us a word to go give away, a people to go give it away to, and we go deliver that word to them. And that's what storytellers do. We're witnesses, we're ministers, we're deliverers. We deliver that story. We minister that story, we're a witness to that story, and nobody can tell our story like us. Amen? Amen. So I want to be like that young girl who asked a question. Lord, how can I be more effective at winning souls by witnessing of You, ministering the things You have shared with me and delivering them to the people You've given me to deliver them to? I'm a personal deliverer of the living Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And what a blessing. What a blessing to be a deliverer of the Word of God. And just knowing that, using that, walking in that, we then take on this same mindset and confidence that Luke's confidence was this, that he had a complete understanding of the things that Jesus did when He came. And because he had that understanding, he was overwhelmed with a sense, I've got to deliver it. I've got to go give it away. And having that confidence sets us up on that platform. Well, man, I can't help but talk about it. I can't help but do it. And we've read throughout the Old Testament. We've read through the New Testament. We've read every book in the Bible together collectively, one chapter at a time. And we can't help but see how there were times in the past when God's deliverers and ministers and witnesses of the Word said, every time I delivered the Word, it caused me trouble. Every time I brought Your name up, every time I brought Your ways up, every time I gave Your wisdom away, every time I said anything about You, it just created trouble for me. So I decided, like Jeremiah says, I made a commitment. I wasn't never going to say another word again. And he said, God, but Your word, the witness of Your word became a fire inside of me. and it was more difficult for me to keep it in than to get rid of it. I'd rather deal with the people and their trouble toward me than try to keep in the fire of your word. Amen? Amen. He comes to that conclusion. He realized that every time I said something, it caused me trouble, but I'd rather face the trouble than trying to contain what you're putting in me. Why? When God puts it in you to go deliver it, you can't help but go deliver it. Amen?
Amen.
You got to. You got to. So then we got to begin to ask the question, God, give me something to go deliver. Give me a word to go minister. Give me a message to go be a witness to. Because I want to be a more effective soul winner for you. As Proverbs 11:30 would say, he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. And I want to be God-fearing, God-believing, God-trusting, and just be a wise soul winner for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.